G'day listeners, you're back with Beanie Banksy and Boydie, the basketball blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy.
And this is the NBL 23 Oof. Schedule release podcast. And I've got to say, Banksy, thank you for clearing your schedule because I'm sure this celebrity status that you've gained over the last off-season, being a top 10 fantasy coach in the world, you've probably been pretty busy. How has your off-season been?
Yeah, been in heavy demand, quite a few interviews, that sort of thing. But I do feel very refreshed. I don't know about you boys. It's been a little bit of time in between, but I feel like it's just here. It's upon us.
That's right.
And before we know it, it's basically 2 months.
Well,
this is where our preseason starts.
That's it. So
Santa Claus is coming.
We did have a little bit of Jack White and the White Stripes there with the intro because if you can believe it, season five of the Basketball Blokes introduction song is not quite up and ready yet.
Not.
No, that'll be sometime in the future.
We haven't decided who we're applying the curse to this year.
That's right. Yeah. But obviously, Jack White, Travers, Besson, DeYoung, all these good things. Lauren Jackson for the Opals, our Australian team winning
FIBA Asia Cup.
Asia Cup. Lots of great things happening in Aussie basketball. But the best thing for NBL fantasy coaches is the schedule release. It determines how our fantasy season will go. So that is what we're here to look
at
today.
That's it.
And we're going to go and do it in the order of the alphabets. It's probably a good way to do it.
So
and
Tassie's first, obviously.
No, they were second. But Banksy, as the top bloke with the top 10 finish last season, mate, kick us off with the Adelaide 36ers and their NBL 23 schedule.
Let's get stuck in. So as the roster is forming for Adelaide, they've got a couple of spots left. So they've got one import, one local, and a next star remaining if they go that way. As we know, the schedule dictates how we start our rosters. And fair to say, we won't be starting any Adelaide players come round one that we wouldn't have thought.
Why is that?
Why not, Banksy?
Back-to-back donuts. So
double
they don't have
donuts.
Any games in the first two rounds.
Now, we're presuming that's for an NBA v. NBL type situation, correct?
Yeah, I posted that to a couple of Adelaide media on
got
the Twitter.
Back. Nothing.
No, nothing confirmed, but it has to be. I mean, that OKC game was suggested by one of our Discord chat members on Patreon followers
that
OKC versus Adelaide in the crossover match would
that.
Be odds on, and that would be something great for the league to see. Carry on, Banksy.
So, headlined by a couple of huge signings, if you don't mind.
Massive.
Franks and Antonius Cleveland.
Franks and Beans.
Now, fair to say, both of these guys are going to feature in our squad throughout the season.
Well, I just...
Are they?
I just like how Adelaide, the issue all for the last few years is imports.
Yep.
So the new strategy, let's just sign the good imports that everyone else gets.
Sign everyone else's.
Yeah, that's right. I like it a lot. I mean,
look, it makes sense. Other teams have done it in the past. Like, we all know that Cairns was almost the import factory for a little while.
That's right. They got
Scotty
poached.
Scotty Mac probably stopped that for a little while. And Oliver, when he came back for his second year, way back when, a long time ago.
Yep.
But it seems like
Adelaide now the poachers.
They're the poachers.
And I feel like that's a reward for the Adelaide fans who've been showing up in fantastic numbers over the last couple of seasons. So, congrats. It's great to see.
Be very keen to get over there for a game, I think, this season as well. But we'll have to arrange that in the calendar.
Not in the first two rounds, though.
You two guys are already talking about bloody, you know, Collingwood grand finals and all this sort of stuff. So I don't know how we're going to go with that. You might have to 6 months at home after yous are out for 24 hours after that.
I've just realised that's the 23rd, Banksy. We could be in strife for recording podcasts. It's peak season.
That's risky.
Oh, dear.
Oh, geez.
That'll be entertaining.
Oh, dear.
Just might be you and me, brother.
All right. So I guess a little bit more on the Adelaide roster. The imports that they have, they've already played in the league. So it's not such a bad thing that they have that sparse schedule because, you know, Franks, we're looking at 1.7 million. Cleveland, we're looking at 1.59 million. So knowing their roster is, you know, mostly signed up there. I mean, which Adelaide players are we most excited about, I guess, schedule aside at this stage?
Just before we're on that, Benny, the prices that are on our rolling rosters, and you'll find that at www.basketballblokes.com/rolling-rosters. We're basing that on how they did the scoring from the start of last season, correct?
That's right. And we did have it confirmed before the last NBL manager of marketing, and he was in charge of the fantasy game, did tell us that that would continue with the closing prices being opening prices for the existing players. And Adelaide are very expensive.
That's it. Sorry, Banksy, we ruined your questioning there. The person that I'm most excited about at Adelaide, believe it or not, is Kyren Galloway.
I was going to say, don't be cagey about it, mate.
It's Galloway. He's nice and cheap. The whole starting lineup is expensive, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Desch is the cheapest one at 1.05. If you read the article today from Liam Santamaria, you're thinking that they're going to have another import wing there, a two, maybe a one, maybe a combo, something along those lines. So I'm not really liking too much there, to be brutally honest.
Some big names mentioned in articles on the NBL website and alike, so you can definitely head to those if they did continue to invest in this roster. Obviously, Munford was rumoured earlier, but we're going to get a good look. KG, Galloway, I'm putting him on the Pinder trajectory. Ooh, that's who I foresee him being, if given the opportunity. But good thing is, we're not going to be able to start with him on this team. We'll have our rosters set. We'll be able to have a look and then see how it all pans out with Adelaide. But
and that's it. At least we'll get a bit of a look before we probably want to be entering
these guys. And why is that interesting?
Why is what interesting?
That we get to have a look at them. What happens from there?
Well, they're not going to...
Well, it's what I was going to ask, and you give the details, but if we're going to hear about Banksy's favourite player, and you've mentioned Galloway, is there actually any reason to trade out an Adelaide player? Say, Banksy's going to talk about Antonius Cleveland soon. If he turns out to be the number one SF going for round...
Yep.
You can keep him for the whole damn year.
Just about, yes.
Talk us about Adelaide's schedule in more depth.
Well, I think just because with those two zeros, obviously they're compacted, and then they've got 28 games in 16 rounds. So, you know, they're after those first two rounds, they're the best team schedule-wise. They go on a run where it's just doubles everywhere. There's a couple of singles thrown in here and there, but they're basically a double machine for the rest of the year, aren't they?
You've absolutely stolen my thunder.
Oh, but sorry, man. I didn't know you were going to check that later.
That's exactly what I was going to say. For me, the most excited player from Adelaide would be Antonius Cleveland. Not just because of the Cleveland flavour. I actually had a little bit of a look at his numbers early. Averaged 43.8 per game last season. But interesting stat for you. Averaged 38 over the first 10 rounds last season, but he only posted three scores of 40 plus. Averaged 48 over the back half of the season.
Wow.
So, big differentiation there. But in those last 11 rounds, 12 scores of 40 plus. So, that's 12 40 plus scores over his last 16 games of the season. He basically became...
Hence the price.
Yes, he's pricey, but he became one of the most consistent fantasy scorers in the game, basically. And that was, you know, mainly due to his defensive numbers, of course. But like you said, with the schedule, it's sparse at the start, which is good for fantasy coaches because from round five, they have 10 doubles over 12 rounds. So that is three more games than any other team throughout that duration, and it means that players like Cleveland, where we're used to it being a shallow position, the small forward, you could literally have him as a mainstay in your squad for those 11 rounds.
Yep,
brilliant.
Yeah, I agree.
A whole season for me. Why not? I mean, it's something that we will be looking at closely in the round five NBL fantasy preview. But I reckon we can move on now to something probably, I mean, do I say equally exciting or equally dull, considering we're not going to be starting any Adelaide? But Bordy is the next man in line.
Yeah, Brisbane. Look, I was pretty upset when I first saw the list here and the rundown that you put together every week, Benny, that you'd be giving me B. I'm B for Brisbane. I'm presuming that's because B for Bordy.
Second in charge.
Okay. Second. And I was going to say, I could just put in, you know, Banksy wrote War and Peace. I'm just basically just going to say B for Boring.
B for Boring.
That's it.
That's all you're giving.
Leaving
us.
It at that. That's no, it. I'm not going to leave it at that. So they've only got two doubles in the first eight rounds. Oof.
Not that a B flash. Word for that.
That's worse than Adelaide.
I'm going to have to. I'll think of something.
All right, yuck. It doesn't start with B. Okay.
Blah.
you could swap the Y with an F, but I don't know. But it means the last 10 rounds, they have six doubles and a triple in round 15.
Oh, we got our triples. Triples are back. That's yes, worth noting. Yes,
triples check. Back. So, look, it doesn't really... I think they're one of the ones where you're probably not going to look at them until later in the season, I would have thought.
Yep.
Probably only going to be cash cow relevant if anyone stands out in the preseason, you would think.
That's it, maybe. But yeah, that was the other thing that I was thinking. Like, they need some signings there. That roster is looking like pretty boring. Obviously, they've got no import signed as yet. Mm-hmm. So, and they've got Tom Digbo in there. We've got him in there as his starting small forward. There's no talk of him.
Liam's article today.
He doesn't. They haven't even got him on the roster.
Doesn't appear to be coming back. So.
Look, they probably need three Jet imports because I think they're all going to be starters by the looks of it.
But the level investment that Brisbane have provided of late,
yes, with doesn't imports. Lead me to. No, that's right. We don't want it. Happen. We don't. So, I guess we're going to have to wait and see.
Well, they have provided Vic Law and Robert Franks.
Stolen.
Correct. They can't keep these guys, but at least they've got an eye for the scouting. So we'll wait and see. Perhaps they get a big big banger. Might be another
yep.
B word.
Yep.
That was rumoured earlier. That could be very interesting. But is there really anything else to say about Brisbane and their
Not really, but it's not such a bad thing that, you know, we've got to see what these imports are going to be, but it's not such a bad thing because that's where you can find value. For your bench, if they don't have any standout players that are going to demand the ball, no big name imports, well, that's where some of the locals at a cheaper price might become good bench players yep. for us.
Noted.
Beautiful. As ordinary bloke for last season, I have the next team in line, which is the Cairns Taipans. Now, looking at their schedule, they have a matching schedule to Brisbane right up until round 8. So, as we've just sort of mentioned, that was a bit blah. As the B word I've decided to describe it as.
Oh, blah.
They do, however, have a round 11 triple, which is always interesting, but it is surrounded by singles.
Yep.
And every other team, bar New Zealand, is on the double that week. So I can't see him being relevant there. It is more so from round 13 onwards that you've been looking at your Taipans to finish the season with another triple to be played. Hopefully they don't have the injury problems that plagued them last season. I thought this is where we're going to get so much of our fantasy value. I was hoping for a good schedule. The main man, the Wardenberger with the lot, is confirmed by Liam Santa Marita as having the starting position. That seems to be why Cairns have been able to snag the hot prospect.
Cash cow alert.
Can we... Ding, does ding, it give you pause, fellas, to get... Wardenberg in your starting side potentially.
Oh, he's in there.
He's in there still?
He's in there. Bench.
Ride the bench.
Yep.
For win. 250k, you got to take the risk, don't you?
Yeah. I think so as
if
well.
If he gets the start at 250k, I mean, look as we go through the teams, I mean, he could be one of the big cash generating bench players, couldn't he?
So. For sure.
Yep. So that's the Cairns. It's really Wardenberg is probably the only one.
I'm disappointed, to be honest. I was really high on Pinder, not probably as much as you, Bordy, in the back half of the season there. I was wanting an excuse almost to get him in my team.
Yep.
With no other dominant bigs as it stands. So that's a little bit disappointing with that starting
schedule. Speaking of disappointment, if McCall was going to have the reins as the ball handler, that was looking good, but they have been rumoured to sign Shannon Scott, yet to be confirmed, but that'll mean that McCall will not be running the point. And they're pretty thin in the big man position, which is why I like Wardenberg quite a bit. But I think that's probably it. That's Cairns. Banksy, are you up next?
Yeah. So who do we got next? The Illawarra Hawks. All right. So it's pretty sparse.
I mean, that was a perfect reaction for the Illawarra Hawks.
That's pretty blank.
It's pretty much how it goes.
We've gone early again, obviously. But
they're a basketball team in the National Basketball League. As it stands,
they've really only got two starting caliber players in that roster at the moment, being Tyler Harvey and Samson Frolling. They've got four roster spots still open there. Two imports that they can still sign, two locals and a next star available as well. So there's a lot, obviously, to play out with this roster still before we jump to any fantasy conclusions.
Yeah, they're like Brisbane. Like they got a lot to do still, haven't they? They've got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
I feel like Frolling and Harvey like jump out as value But I want that schedule to be really good. How is the schedule, Banks?
Well, 5 games over the first 3 rounds. That's decent if there's going to be any standout options that say pick me. But that's before just the one double over the following 6 rounds. So if you're going to be starting with these Hawks, it's probably just for the first 3 rounds. And then that schedule's very sparse thereafter.
Notable triple again for the Hawks. Later on in the season, I believe. So we'll
round 15. Yeah, and it's so actually a round where it's the only round of the season. There's 2 teams with that triple.
Yeah.
Being Brisbane and the Hawks.
So yeah, starting sides. We're not going to be looking at too many Hawks pending signings, and I mean, I think Liam had there that Thon Maker was in discussions with them. That would probably be a bit of a game changer with the decent early schedule. See how that all pans out.
And obviously there's a lot to play out with this roster, but I guess just as it stands for what it's worth, I mean, do we see any fantasy value in that roster?
Yeah, I've mentioned the two. Like, Harvey was, I don't, if that's, considering they're going to sign another point guard seemingly, that probably hurts Harvey quite a bit. But if you look at his last few games, I think he was sort of pushing 50 average for across the last sort of 4 games, back to what he was kind of doing the season before. But from a value perspective, I know I've got a value article on our Basketball Blokes website, and both Froehling boys are very high in the fact that what they average and what their starting price should be is considered to be a bit of a discount.
And I naturally thought that about Harvey when I first looked at the roster and saw the price of Harvey as well. Again, we don't know the imports that will be signed, but I felt like this, not last season, the season before they had the big names, Harvey was more the man for Illawarra, right? But I looked at the average difference between last season and the season before, and it was only maybe maximum 3 to 4 points better off when he was the man at the Hawks versus when they had the bigger names and the scorers of Reith and so forth there last season. So there wasn't a big difference there. So Harvey doesn't stand out, but I like that you mentioned Sam Froehling, 970K.
I have been accused of loving Froehling in my time.
Yes, more so Harry, but I mean, 970K is priced at his average of 37. But I had a little look at his numbers from last season. He started the season with a bang, averaged 52 points over his first 5 games. But I guess the key to Sam's game is consistency. We're yet to see consistency over a full season. He had 5 games in the teens last season after that really good start. I think there was even some games, if you remember back, where he was actually benched and he lost his starting position in that squad as well. So
it was all to do with Antonius Cleveland playing the 4. Which was great for Cleveland's numbers.
Yep.
But then Reith and Froehling had to share.
Yep.
Killed them both, really.
Yeah, I think if there's not a monster like Reith there again, then Sam might be value pick.
Big double-double threat, hey?
Is there any chance at all? Greta?
Yep. I've got if him. He's fit, he's in my notes.
I mean, we've probably been accused before. He's one of our faves. We'll probably say as a crew,
small
we're,
forward.
We're big fans of Dan Green.
411K.
Obviously, coming back from crappy injury.
Unless they do the very silly Dane Pinot pricing from last season.
Oh god!
Which is where he just didn't play and they fixed him in at $1 million.
And the other one,
I wouldn't have thought so.
The other one I'm thinking there, depending on signings. What about Big A? What about Big A Gak?
Okay.
It takes a fair bit to get on to one of those summer league gigs. And obviously he was with Chicago. So they've obviously seen something there. Now, I would say that he has been strived of opportunities.
Strived,
so far.
Yeah.
Not starved.
Starved. That's what I was going with. Sorry.
Strived.
I've had a couple of short macchiatos.
AK Gak.
Could it be? You know?
I really like him. He'll have a fantasy game. David Aquera and Akolda Gak, I see as these guys that if you give them a chance, they will be fantastic.
Yep.
Hopefully, I mean, that, like you say, that summer league reference is like not easy to get and got minutes.
Yes, got minutes. Well, not that many. I think average 8.5, I think. But yeah.
People sit the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
People are drafted.
I think JLA sit last year, didn't JLA sit the whole time? Yeah, JLA sit the whole year.
Said he was the best player in the entire squad and didn't get a minute for Phoenix last season. But Yeah.
Just one to keep an eye on, I reckon. I reckon let's watch Blitz. Let's see what happens there. And, you know, if you're... We're talking, there's, you know, of going some bit pretty big primos when you're looking at it. Well, if you want to go a couple of primos, depending on who you're looking at, especially with a couple of names we've already mentioned here, Cleveland, you know, he's a primo at 1.48 or whatever it was. Franks even, etc. McCall, you know, you need to chuck some cheaper guys in there. So if it looks like that Gak's going to get some minutes, I would think that at 250K, he's, you know, it's one that you possibly need to do your research on.
All about opportunity, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And it depends on what that roster is. It's not as, I don't think it's going to be as stacked as it was last year. So there's going to be minutes for these guys that are sitting in that second lineup, I think. All right. I think it's on to me, is it? What have we got here? Who's next?
Stolen me team.
It is.
I don't know what's going on. Benny did these things, mate. I didn't do
anything. I just go by the alphabet.
Unbiased view, I feel.
I'm going to go a bit controversial here.
Okay.
A couple of singles to start.
You say you like Melbourne United.
Controversial.
That would be controversial.
Couple of singles to start. But I would say after that, they are almost the most fantasy relevant side. For a fair chunk of the season.
Schedule.
Because after that, they got 9 doubles in the first 12 rounds, which is, they've got 2 singles to start off with, so they've basically got doubles from rounds
9 out 3 of 10
to 12.
Rounds.
Wow. Correct. Yeah. Correct. From 3 to 12, from rounds 3 to 12, they've got 1 single.
Correct.
Right? Then, got on the wrong screen. Then from, so they've got, 5 doubles, blah, 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 and then, but then...
But then
get those Melbourne United boys
but
out.
Then.
Get out.
Yes.
Get out.
Perfect fantasy schedule.
It is. It's a perfect schedule, isn't it?
In the last 6 rounds, they've got 1 double and it's in the 4th last round. So come finals time, yo, don't want any Melbourne United players in there.
Do you know what my instant thought with this schedule for Melbourne was? It's perfect. It gives me 2 weeks to see what version of hump we're going to get.
Yep.
That's so
before
true.
Before we get 9 doubles over 10 rounds.
As a round 1 humper, like I was
and then
last
you,
year.
And then you
round
give them the boot.
So, okay, so since you mentioned one already, my question, I've got to read this from the auto cue that Benny has put on from here. Early thoughts on Huck and Humph playing together. Huck.
Double H.
I'm aroused.
But what about Huck and Humph?
Well, the humping does get me excited. And
how about the prices?
Yes.
Oh,
so
go through the prices, Banksy, if you got them there.
Huck 40.
Oh,
914K priced at 25 points.
Average.
From average.
It's Zach.
Big hump.
Mm-hmm. Back
871K
bargain
at an average of 20.7.
This
points.
Is the man.
Well. This is well, if they work right. If they work, for me, it's a big if. They could be absolutely dominant against most teams. Golly, big hump, tempting, 871K, is it? Assuming the prices are right. But
yes,
if you take the risk and play off, and it pays off, you're definitely going to be cartwheeling, aren't you?
Yes, flipping he was, in fact. Isaac Humphries.
The problem in the last couple of seasons with Hump is he's always had this injury question mark heading into the season.
He looks so good.
No, this is where it's a good
Benny,
thing.
Benny, he's not going in the song.
He's
out
We're
of the song.
We're not cursing him, but...
Leave him out of the song.
This is where it's a good thing.
Well,
because we
bubbles.
Don't have to start with him. We get the first 2 weeks of singles to have a good look at him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to change much in price in that time. And then we can make our decision. Do we jump on for those 9 doubles over 10 rounds from round 3?
Mick Randall, Herald Sun reporter, kind of implied with a tweet that they're going Twin Towers. Humphries has been working on his 3-point shot. I actually think the Twin Towers system could work. I love what Melbourne United bigs do. JLA, number 1 points per minute player last season. Huck Porty was top 5 in points per minute. Jack White was top 15 in points per minute. Their bigs can rack up. Obviously, Jack White, NBA, JLA gone. I think they can do the Twin Towers. There will be plenty of points to have. I think that early days, because Banks is right, we can look. They're both centre only. It's a big issue. Early days, we can
like
look.
Oh, that's tough.
It's tough, right? So I think you can bench one for the first 2 weeks. Which one would you feel more confident right at this very second?
Huck Porty.
To start on your bench.
Aquera.
What?
Come Aquera. On, mate. Mason Peely. Out of those two.
Big risk. Big risk. I don't know if it's going to happen. They've still got three import spots.
I was just about to say, this roster is pretty scary when they've got three imports to sign.
They've still got three import spots. Now, they might do the same path that they did and only sign one. I can't see it happening, though. I just can't see it happening this year. They didn't salute. And I think, looking at the depth as well, I think they'll go at least two imports.
They'll have two, I think.
And
one of them might replace Dellavedova. Worth mentioning.
Mm.
It's your team. You can mention it.
It's not my team.
Melbourne United. You're doing the damn what's yours on the runner, mate. Bang, this belongs to you.
What am I mentioning?
Sacramento Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Dally. Real chance of leaving, apparently.
I was talking about this today earlier with someone else, actually. Are they going to get him? Will he be there?
Playing for
Mike Brown is almost like an assistant coach. The problem with... Okay. This is a decision that... It's going to have to be a personal decision for Dally. Yes, he might get an NBA roster spot. I can't see him getting huge amounts of minutes. He's going to be the 11th or 12th guy on that roster. Hardly ever play. And he's going to make that decision. I think he needs to make that decision almost like Bogut's decision a couple of years ago. If he wants to play for the Boomers, he needs to play. So what do you do? Do you take that NBA deal again for a year and take it and see how it goes? He's the old man. He's the locker room guy there if he goes to Sacramento. You know, he's the king of the kids. It's all about leadership, which I think he's got. And that role is probably perfect for him, to be honest. But I think he needs to play.
It's a very good question. I guess we've got to watch out for that. So, does he interest you from fantasy at sub $1 million with
not,
that schedule?
Not at the moment, no.
You prefer an import?
I just want to see the import. I just want to see the roster makeup.
He did play
there.
Very well.
And I also worry about the Twin Towers thing. I'm a little bit worried about because it's such a change in philosophy from the previous year. White was a mobile four, could guard any spot almost from
I feel
one
that can be
four.
Huck Porty, even though he's taller than Humphreys, but
I'm not sure I'm not sure I'm feeling that yet. I want to see it.
Yeah. Cool.
Twin Towers, bit of Townsend Gobert.
Oh, about I thought you were going back to the Admiral and Duncan. Okay,
he's German, not French, Huck Porty anyway. We're done with United. I'm very, very interested to see how they go. Any extra comments?
No.
Nope. Leave it there. Moving on, this is my team, the New Zealand Breakers. Very similar to Melbourne United. Start off with the two singles. But I'm so tempted by these guys. I think that I will have at least a couple, even in my starting side, as it stands in these early days. They've got one issue in round 13 with a donut.
Oof.
But finished the season off strongly. Have a really great run in the middle of the season from round 3 onwards. So,
are you going to go players now?
You want to talk about schedule more?
Yeah.
Go for it.
A little bit disappointed.
That they don't... We can't
they
start
didn't,
them?
No, a little bit disappointed with NZ that they didn't get Christmas at home, to be honest.
Yeah. So
they play a Boxing Day game against the Jack Jumpers in Tassie, which means they're going to have to be in Tassie for Christmas, I would have thought. I think that's a bit shizen.
At a minimum, that's the least we could have done.
They've spent 2 years playing abroad. I just think they could have done a bit of a goodwill thing there. Even, get that game in New Zealand on Boxing Day. I don't know. It was one thing that stuck out to me when I had a little bit of a look at it and I saw the zero there and I'm like, oh, that's good. They must be giving them Christmas at home.
New Year's.
Checked it out. Mm. Not such thing. No such thing. So, yeah. Just a little bit of a negative on that side of things. I think I would have given NZ a home game at least for that. Time,
but awesome to see that they will be at home, of course. I just listened to a very interesting interview with Monty Mayor and it was SEN New Zealand with Ian Smuth, and talking about their roster, obviously they've just signed a Jarrell, which we like. Jarrells normally do very well for us in fantasy.
Pardon? Excuse me.
Is the other one. Derek. Pardon? D-E-R-E-R-K. And look, so what he said was they pressed him on who they're looking at signing, and they are after a scoring punch, not a point guard, but will be a guard. So I think your standard, I guess, scoring two guard that no doubt will sit in front of Cam Glidden on the depth chart. He said the point guard positions are to be run by Will and Isaiah. I'm so excited about Will McDowell-White. The way he represented Australia.
Huge.
First question, known as Beamer for us, is Bill McDowell-White, BMW. Do we approve the Boomer McDowell-White that was raised by Julian O'Brien?
Yep.
Love that. So we can just go with Boomer. Boomer McDowell-White. Banksy, tick that off it. As well. Majority rules.
Tick.
799K. A man who scored 100 fantasy points. Oof. In a single game before. So how's that for a ceiling? PGSG. The most versatile man.
And I think...
How excited are we?
He's been given the keys there. And I think that's the most exciting part because...
Beamer with the keys.
I'm sure we talked about this earlier in the season as well. Like, if he was given the keys early on, we thought it was going to be... He was just going to be legit. And then Siva come back and he was sort of playing and he was the PG and it was a bit...
Well, the guards stacked. This is just so much opposite.
So much better.
Roster
look,
setup.
That roster. It? Look, they need a bit of quality there. Like, look, Abercrombie's... I think he's older than Banksy, which was, 56 or what?
It's touch and go.
Hey? So, look, yeah, I think that they still need that. They need another wing there. Definitely, that's the weakness. But I know we were talking about that starting lineup before of Adelaide having all the players were over at one point. Oh, Desch was the only one that was 1.05 mil. The rest of them were 1.2
plus.
Yeah,
McCarron. Yeah, everyone
has this starting
expensive.
Lineup. 800 or 799K, McWhite. 700K, Glidden. Doubt he'll be the starter. 400K, Abercrombie. We know he's better than that. He's injury ravelled last year. You know, minutes might come down again like Newley has the last couple of years, but could still be a possible option there if you need a cheapie to chuck on your bench somewhere. You've got the two imports starting, Jarrell Brantley and... Pardon?
Probably two of the top four imports signed so far that I'm most excited about.
So they've gone from being very guard-heavy to being very big-heavy.
Oh, are they though?
I think they're balanced.
I think they're not too bad.
Yeah.
I think they're lacking a little bit of quality maybe, of like starter quality in their wing. They need someone else there. I don't think Cam's like 35 or something as well now. Like I think he's pretty old now. I don't think he's the starter.
And I guess my question for you, Benny, because I haven't had a great look at these imports, but they're two big man imports, Brantley and Pardon. If you were to have to rank them at this stage from a fantasy perspective, question with no notice.
Benny's up and about.
Pardon the bloody interruption, to be honest.
Benny is up and about Jarrell Brantley.
Yeah, so I have... He's the hot, fresh meat at the moment in Jarrell. but Pardon was the signing. Like, I just think he's going to possibly average a double-double. I'm really excited about it.
Yep. Then?
Jarrell Brantley... the pedigree's there, but if you watch the highlights, he's basically like nuggety Scott Hobson that's going to play power forward, creates off the dribble, can shoot the three ball, given the power forward role, he's going to get rebounds. The guy's a machine. You should see how this guy's built. After your baller rating, I'm looking forward to that later on at some point in time. I'm going to have to get that
off
you.
Is this Brantley?
Brantley, yeah.
Does he look anything like what Bordy called him in our group chat this morning when he announced that Harrell had been...
Yeah, no, shorter dreadlocks, not Jarrell.
Damn, autocorrect.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Benny, though, mate, just quietly, my mixtape over the last month or so... Domestic.
Ever since being back in the office,
going
with you.
Okay. Yeah, so you know, like anyone's mixtape can look pretty good. I can make some good highlights. So
that's true. I mean, the guy's straight out of the NBA.
He is
listening. I followed a little bit of
summer league as well.
Yeah, played summer league. Just I love these undersized fours, Jay Sean Tate style players that can do it all. He's taller than Jay Sean Tate. He's physically more imposing than Jay Sean Tate. He had that Scotty Hobson. I say Hobson because the highlights reminded me of the New Zealand Breakers Hobson.
Okay.
That athleticism.
Yep, yep.
It's like, yeah, I am. He's going to play the Delaney role, is
okay.
what we were told. So that's the replacement for. But, like, seriously, you set a screen for this guy. He's taking it to the cup and he's finishing with authority. I'm very high on him and I love the schedule. I hope and pray he gets small forward eligibility.
Just been at the Summer League playing for the Clippers. Team averaged 7.6 points and 4.8 rebounds a game in only 21 minutes. So not bad.
Not bad. I'm a fan. I'm looking forward all to right. it. Can't all wait right. for the Blitz, but back to the...
What else we got there for that one? That it? Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Yeah, that'll do.
Who we got next? Perth. I think that's me.
Tap you on the shoulder. You awake?
Yep, I'm okay. still here.
Good.
Perth Wildcats. So the thing with Perth is they've got basically an almost complete roster. They've only got the one roster spot remaining, which we assume will be a big man.
It's been told it will be a John really four
Willy,
or five.
Really Willy will be already said, I think in an interview today, said it was going to be a five, yep. Mm-hmm. Or a four or five, yep.
Yep.
And look... I look at their schedule, it almost looks more sparse than any other team. They just don't really have that string of doubles that demands
it's the worst.
That you own these Perth players for a long stretch. They've only got the one double in the first four rounds, whereas a lot of other teams have two or three doubles in the first 4 weeks. So Perth's going to be a really tough one. Be interesting to see if there's enough value in any of these guys to warrant starting them with that sparse schedule come round one. But... I guess import-wise, they've got the million-dollar man to Sean Thomas. I know you're not overly big on him,
I mean,
Benny,
I like,
compared
you
to
know,
some of the other guys like the New Zealand bigs there.
I mean, he kind of sounds a little bit like just Sean Tate with the name-wise. But, I mean, apart from that, I looked at the stats. That's all I've seen. I shouldn't be too critical. I was just very excited about the Alan Williams rumour, who would be Mooney-esque in fantasy.
So not worth playing.
Yeah, we'll start this again. If that happens, I'm very excited and I'd just slot him in regardless of schedule. But, do we trust? I guess I'm not going to say it's Hutchie, but there's just been turmoil. Absolute
turmoil
around Perth.
Over the off-season.
But, yeah, I'm not that high on the signing as a fantasy player yet, but... I think they're focusing on defense. Yeah.
I think with that schedule, he'd have to be pretty impressive in the preseason to warrant starting when you've got, like you say, the other guys like Brantley, et cetera, that you can be picking with a better schedule at the same price.
Yep.
I mean, the numbers, I had a look at his numbers. They're not fantastic, but the credentials are there. I mean, he's won quite a few awards in the leagues he's played in the past few seasons. He was named both state cup MVP and the best defender, which we like... Fantasy-wise, that was in 2019 in Israel. Most recent season was in France. He was an all-star and named in the LNB Pro All-First Team. Averaged just shy of 14 points and just over 6 rebounds a game. So, not
credentials
quite
are good.
The credentials are good, but the numbers aren't, you know, that double-double threat that you probably want from a starting PF.
I'm worried about it. We're going to talk about it in a second anyway, so... With that one, I'm a bit worried about fit and role and, you know, I think, it's a bit of a worry, that one, but don't know.
Well, the Perth question, let's get to that. Do we think Luke Travers starts this season?
And that's what I was worried about with Tashaun, as we know it at the moment. Even if whoever starts, LT might start at the three, he might start at the four. There might be, you know, they both might start, but then there needs to be minutes for Blanche there. There needs to be, you know, it's kind of a bit of a funny situation. I don't really know what's going on over there. Benny, what do you reckon?
So, LT or Blanche? Let's go with
LT's going to have to start.
Correct.
Cause
you saw the really interview.
I haven't seen it yet. I've read
a little bit about it. So, yeah, he's... Wants to get him, you know, committed to get him to that next level.
He said his role is to get him
developed.
Ready. Correct.
Another season of development.
It's about his versatility. I mean, we all know he can handle the ball. He can. Some of the passes in the Summer League were superb. I'd have him go in Norton, Cotton, Travers, and to Sean and whoever they sign next as the starting lineup. Travers, last season, have you got any numbers there, Banks?
Yeah, just touching on the Summer League, I think what really impressed me about Travers, played for my Cavs in the Summer League there, was he continued on with the defensive numbers we saw in the NBL last season. He was getting the steals, he was getting the blocks, that all-round fantasy game that we love, and that's why we were so high on Travers last season. I think we got what we expected from him at the start of last season, 41 points per game over his first six games. But then if we remember back, it was round seven. He got hit with COVID like a lot did in Perth. We didn't see the same consistency in his fantasy scoring thereafter for a number of reasons. He was injured. He had the calf. The return of Blanchfield. So that's the thing. If Blanch is healthy, when we looked at the numbers last season, it was a genuine consideration. He averaged near 40 points per game in the five games that Blanchfield missed at the start of the season. And obviously quite a bit lower with Blanch in the same squad.
Obviously, they tried to play Michael Fraser, who was more of a Travers type in size compared to Corey Webster, who they've got running as the backup to. I feel that way anyway. Like Corey seems like he's more of an outside player.
Yep.
High on LT this year. I think it's going to be a weak SF position again. Potential bench option again for me. Really keen to see how he goes.
Don't mind it. And I don't know if anyone goes by this, but I think Liam ranked Perth's draw as the easiest.
I did think that. Thought United's was pretty soft as well. I think
they've got the interesting thing is they got the four games against Adelaide, Perth. They look pretty defensive with Desch and Cleveland there. And McCarron.
Except for the big
McCarron as well. So, you know, it's one thing to keep in mind. Matchups, it does come down to it sometimes, as you would have seen in Benny's big stats pack that we had last year. So, and we will have again.
Kyle Zunick.
So, yeah.
Banksy, you finished in the top 10 last season. You started with Kyle Zunick. There is no Kevin White.
No.
So, no Kevin White at all.
I know, but you've got Bryce Cotton. You've even got Corey Webster that can probably handle the ball along with Mitch Norton. So I really don't see
all those Zunick. Three guys will get more minutes.
I think just all three of those guys can handle the ball.
I'm not ruling it out just yet.
It's a no from me. Unless Mitch gets injured again, which is why he came into play last year. Let's not forget.
So did Kev White. But true.
So, yeah.
That's probably it.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Sam.
Champions.
Are they?
NBL 23.
eight games in the first five rounds, which is similar, or actually the same as Illawarra, Melbourne, Sydney, NZ, Taz, albeit a slightly different makeup I've got here. So they play single, double-double. Schedule-wise, apart from that, biggest run of doubles is three, which is a little bit of a negative, I think. There's a couple other teams that have four and five and six runs of doubles, and that three is in rounds 9 to 11. So
it's almost on point with Perth's schedule. If you look at them,
it's pretty much the same.
On our correct schedulizer, they're on top of each other.
The three doubles is even in the same rounds, 9, 10, 11.
They're almost identical.
It's underwhelming to look at. And now if we put that over to their roster, I'm not sure. Big raps on Trey Kell.
We weren't keen initially,
but then heard things like we've wanted him previously and he was too expensive and all sorts of this.
Correct.
Gary Brown's the interesting one. Obviously a little bit outside the square, that signing.
Playing in Puerto Rico with Creaky and I.
Correct. And national, Jacob Wiley, he's a national team player for...
Pass First.
Yep. So more of a distributor.
From fantasy.
So, yeah, it's kind of a bit of, their season's going to come down to is Rowdy fit and firing and, is Creaky back to his best?
Can he bounce back?
Playing in his TN.
He was underwhelming, I feel.
He was.
At the back half of the season.
Correct, I agree. Injury played a lot of a part into that, though.
There was a report, some other broken or stressed or bruised, something or other he was carrying on as well.
Yeah, so
came out recently.
I think everything wasn't right there. It's going to come down to that last sign. I know they got a couple of signings, but the last import, unless they can get one of the big names. What about big old fly kick Thon in there?
Have you heard that? Nice. What's that on the forums or something
there
like that?
There was a few rumors going around. Yeah, just forumy ones. Yeah, nothing, okay. Nothing too exciting.
Yep.
You know what stands out for me?
What does?
As it stands, here I mean, go. You've only got one more potential import there with having yep. the two guards as imports.
Yep.
Is should Dane Pinot get more run? He was starved of opportunity last season because yep. you had Cheese in there. You had, mm-hmm. at I think, at all stages through the
apparently
season,
Cheese is
another
a
big import in there as yep. well. And now all Adams. Of a sudden, I mean, you're likely to sign a big man import with actually. That third signing. But yep.
Well,
just
well,
thinking, even if he gets a backup minutes, I mean, he's priced at 12 points a game.
I think there's a possibility that the big Cheese is still back. Just named in the all five, wasn't it? In the FIBA Asia Cup. He's got a good haircut running at the moment. Oh, I don't know if anyone's
it's so
anyone's
bad.
Noticed
not
that.
With the bowl cut. He dominated us though.
Not
I
sure
must
who's
say when
not
we
sure
played
who's
it.
Cutting his hair, but someone's got some good skills.
I don't mind the schedule. I feel like they're a good little pairing with Tasmania. If you want to go a Tassie player. A Tassie and a Sem. So let's go Magne yep. and Creek or whatever
don't
import they want to be.
Yeah,
don't say the name. Don't put him in the song either.
One that gets you through round one, two,
hey,
three.
Put him
four,
in the song,
five,
at least
six,
I'll know.
Round eight.
Seven. Gets you to round eight yep. As a perfect pairing.
Yep,
so
yep.
that would be something that I am looking at because we can't go.
Don't mind that actually.
Yeah.
For the whole year, yeah. It works except for that round eight. You're right.
Correct.
And
so
then that round eight is only, there's only two teams on a double, which is NZ and Cairns. So. It's not like you're going to be missing
that
out
is,
there either.
That is a perfect schedule.
It's perfect.
It is the perfect pairing. So that was just one little schedule mm-hmm. tip. It's
you told me you were busy today.
We can't.
Now I know what you were busy.
He was
with.
Busy, all right.
I was
know,
playing
now
the
I know
Southeast
what he was
Melbourne
busy with.
Schedule.
Scared of the scheduler.
I was. Mm-hmm. I had Magne on my team, and I had to justify that shit. So
we don't mention his name, okay?
Oh, I'm sure we will. I am sure we will.
I'm sure we won't.
All right.
Not in the song.
that's
a no, all
that's
right.
A change.
Actually, while we're at it, give us a shout out. If there's anyone you don't want in the song, we won't 100% guarantee this, but make sure you drop us a line at the Twitter, which is at Beeble underscore blokes.
Poll out, like,
at Beeble underscore blokes, or on Facebook, Basketball Blokes, which we don't
Or even better,
yes?
Sign up as a Patreon supporter. We've still got 60 plus over the off season.
Yep.
Get on the Discord chat and let us know there.
Let's put out some fantasy. Save your player polls and. Whoever gets the most votes.
We Maybe we can make that a Patreon tier.
we'll you don't want us go. To curse your player? That's jump on board.
Say that.
all right. Well, Tassie's last in the alphabets. So I have...
Wait, hang on. Haven't we missed one?
I'm going the Kings. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yep.
So I'm going to move on to the Kings rather than talk about Tassie.
I was going to say. I thought you were going to get Tassie. Yep. Good.
All good. Sydney Kings players will take up a couple or two or three slots in my team, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I really like their roster at the moment, but let's just talk schedule to start off with. It is the schedule pod. I'm not too keen on Tassie's being the only single in round one. So if I look past that, the next three rounds, Sydney Kings are the only team with three triples. And then you can say goodbye potentially. Because it's a whole run of singles with a good finish towards the end of the season. Arguably the best with five lots of doubles. The last third of the season with 11 games. So, Sydney, we can think of these guys for our starting side. Absolutely. So, one roster slot left. It's going to be Tim Suarez. It's been reported.
It's not just reported. Real GM have even got him listed that it's his current team.
Oh, is that right? Okay. So it's the old Cartier Sportando. Never failed, to be honest, so far. So Tim Suarez will be their stretch big. I really like DeWalt. Yep. But my main question...
DeWalt. I love that.
DeWalt. Like it.
Derek Walton Jr.
Justin Simon, I think we'll talk about him a little bit. But my main question is for you fellas, what can Xavier Cooks average this season? At $1.8 million, we'd want something pretty high. So estimates, fellas.
We banged out 54 average, and that was with Jarrell Martin at the five, raking in rebounds as well. And Cook still got his fair share of double-doubles, didn't he? So I think we're going to see much of a muchness.
Much of a muchness. What do you think, Boydie?
And he's going to demand rounds where he's going to be a standout captain option as a result.
So oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm kind of even keel as well. You've got Geordie Hunter there that's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen him in previous seasons. Obviously, didn't play last year.
Good points per minute players. Got a fancy game, for sure.
Definitely. Bit expensive for someone who's sat out for a year. You wouldn't be touching him fantasy-wise, but I think he could impact Cooks' numbers a little bit, rebound just as J-Mart did. So I'm really thinking at the moment, I'm just, look, 54 is a great average, as you know. So
yep.
I think I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah. So he was like last four games of the season, he was like average like 70 or something like that.
Playing he was a guaranteed double-double, wasn't he?
It was incredible.
Insane.
Yep.
This season playing in the NBL, I went up to the fantasy calculator at basketballwokes.com, punched in his averages. He's averaging about 73 fantasy points a game in the New Zealand NBL at
different
the moment.
Different league, but yeah.
Different league. I think he can get to that elite tier, the Bogut Mooney tier, and push 60.
Oh.
So, I'm
not sure about that.
Yeah, that's where I see him going at the moment. Look, last season, there was really no need to trade him out. But the problem is we could get him at the start of the season for about 1.2 million. 1.8?
Yep.
He's going to set you back almost $2 million imports.
You can almost get two of
those two New Zealand.
He's
and
one big
man. And like you mentioned, if you perfect pair two imports for certain teams through the schedule, you know, it
structurally
it's one of those question marks. You need to almost chuck in an extra 250 player or a sub 500k player on your bench.
Someone
or whatever.
You may not be as happy with.
Yeah. So he is structurally the biggest question structurally with your starting team is will you start Cooks and have the captain for rounds 2, 3, and 4?
And 5. 2, 3, 4. Sorry. Yes.
Yep.
Sorry.
Justin Simon. Any thoughts on him? He came in at SGFSF, which is very, very handy. How do we see him fitting into the roster and their fantasy potential?
It's a no from me.
I mean, remembering particularly in the back half of that last season, it was very Cleveland-esque. I mean, he relied on his defensive numbers to get his fantasy scores, and I think he was on the improve the longer the season went on. I noticed, Benny, you've got him priced at $1 million. Is that the way we understand it?
We don't have his finishing price from two seasons ago.
Interesting to see what they do with
him. There was the Bairstow rule, where they just whacked him in at $1 million after having a season off. So we're going with that at the moment as a fresh import. He would probably be cheaper than that because I don't know if you remember, but I reckon Illawarra did him dirty in the end. Like, they were giving Dinga Dell minutes at the end, or, you know, during stages, trying to get him going all season. Like, his minutes were really, really inconsistent, and I think he'll play good minutes in that Wani role, who, if you think about Wani, he played the second most minutes in their entire squad last season.
Yep.
So I've got an article on our website as well talking about the correlation between minutes and fantasy points. It is ridiculous. I think it was 9 of the 11 top increases in minutes last year were in the top 11 increases in fantasy points. It is ridiculous correlation. I think he can be a lot better than what he is. I think he can push 40 personally.
There's some good backup small forwards though. They've got Noi and Glover. I think that they will demand.
Jesus, Noi's numbers
minutes.
In the NBL 1 North are very nice at the moment. Yep. I can think he can play that 3-4 for them, almost play 4 behind Cooks. Cooks is, they've got such a versatile lineup there. Put Suarez in. I've got him early favourites in my mind as far as the best roster. And
yep,
the
agreed.
Championship potential.
Yeah, scary. I think they're pretty stacked in the wings and the guards, like we've talked about previously. You know, there's guys that sort of warrant minutes, like Glover and Noy and Bruce and even Boali, as well as DeWalt and obviously DJ3J. It's real tight there for me. I think I'd only be probably looking at Cooks at the moment, and that's it.
Interesting. I'm a big fan of DeWalt. The G League numbers, we'll go into it, but like he's like Machado, Majette style.
Yep. Okay.
Nearly, probably led the league in assist type deal. So I'm excited. But before we move on to the Jack Jumpers, let's talk a little bit of Jack Jumpers with the doctor.
The Injury Report. with Dr. Boyd.
He's back.
Yeah, look, it pains me to say, I've actually received some complaints about the doctor's work. So at the moment, we're going to have to change that. I'm only an associate professor at present. They've taken the doctor away from me, but I'm working to get it back.
It's breaking news. Better
before the season starts.
I think before the season starts, I'm confident. I'm confident. Look, there was some treatments that I'd recommended previously that they weren't that someone's is cut up a bit rough, and they've obviously lodged complaints in the certain areas, and I can't go with doctor at present.
Was okay. It the air conditioner, was it?
I think it was something to do with the air conditioner. Not happy with the air conditioner.
AP Boyd,
because then they're going to have people just waving their arms around over summer, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
So, Tassie. FIBA Asia Cup. Clint Steindl.
Clint Steindl did get hurt.
We would see him sitting on the bench there. I think he had what are those things called that you walk with when you got a bung leg?
It's not Moon Boot Matty. The crutch, maybe.
The crutch.
Yeah. Oh, come on, if the doctor was here, the crutch jokes would be flying, mate.
We'll lay off the crutch jokes for now.
Okay.
It's
not a groin injury.
No, but I know Roth's come out already and said they're looking at replacement options. Looking at obviously 3-point shooters, scorers for that bench spot. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. It sounds like he's out for a little while if they're talking that, because we're still, as we said, 2 months away from season start.
Who is that?
Clint Steindl. Yep. He has a shin injury.
Shin.
So that's the old stress fracture hot spot.
That's it.
Type deal.
So interesting on the our rolling rosters here, we had him behind McDaniel in that small, so he's the third option at small forward at present. So, but you know, he was the captain there last season, so I'm presuming he would be the captain there again this year.
Yeah.
Just one to keep an eye on, depending on who they sign to take his minutes, to take some minutes for the start of the season. But it's kind of just rolling again, aren't they, Tassie? Who's talking schedule first?
Oh, let's just talk the roster while we're on it, hey?
All right,
Then we'll talk about why we're talking about the damn
upgrades?
Roster. Upgrades. So, imports, they went with Adams. That's some nice little controversy with that whole spiel, what happened there. My Kyle, your Kyle, McIntosh.
Who's Kyle?
Ain't nobody's this season. Replaced by R. Kelly. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't know that O'Doyle rules in Milton Doyle, but I think he's an upgrade on Adams from a fantasy perspective.
He's got a more rounded fantasy game from what I can read into it.
And I believe Rashad Kelly can fly.
Well, he can. He'll be better than McIntosh,
bouncy.
I think. They obviously retain Majet.
The assistant coach of one summer league team, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got Doyle's G League numbers for you.
Yeah, go for it.
So 17.
Not too exciting, but...
Well, I think they're well-rounded. 17.5 points a game. Mm-hmm. Just shy of 6 assists a game, 4 boards, and 2 steals per game.
You chucked it in the calculator?
I haven't yet. We'll get onto that. But, I mean, that's...
Don't mind it.
2 steals a game.
Don't mind
is,
it. We, and we
good,
know those players that can fill up all those stat categories are the ones that do well.
Do you know what both these players can do, the new imports? They can defend. And the problem with that, we're going to talk about the Jack Jumpers schedule.
Yep.
But I'll be looking at whoever's playing the damn Jack Jumpers.
Yes,
because even last season, all our Patreon supporters would know that the Jack Jumpers were the toughest fantasy defense to play against, and that ain't changing.
No.
So you'll be looking to avoid, it'll be in your trade-in plans and captain selection, but I feel that
Tassie is almost season-defining for our fantasy teams.
Explain why. Why?
They're the only team in round one that starts with 2 games. So they're the only team on the double.
Yep.
They're the only team with 3 straight doubles in the first 3 weeks.
Yep.
No other team sporting that.
I'm skipping it. There is a real decision whether or not you skip
there
it or
is.
Not, I think.
Yep. It's agreed. And there's also the argument of, well, I think you probably have to start with 1 to get that captain score in round one.
You would say that.
Would you?
Banksy's captains.
Well, 2 games is better than 1.
Don't ruin the captains already.
So,
what I'm saying is, I'm not saying one way or the other, but I'm saying
170 from Cooks might be enough to...
potentially. Take that over. But it's season defining in how many Tassie guys can you start with, if any at all?
Early thoughts on Will Magne?
No.
We're not talking about it. I did just buy his jersey.
You though. Know, I'll get it.
They play Sam in the opening game, eh? Sam in the opening game, and then they got Cairns at home.
This is what scares me, right?
Okay. Talk about your fears. If he's fit.
If he's fit.
Monster.
He almost screams captain. Right?
Screams.
But we know what happened. I think it was round two, round three last season. We know what happened.
My mind's going in total different directions.
Someone will be screaming. Big Will.
Well,
he's the most obvious one for me of the players that are there. If you're going to start with one, PFC, we've talked about perfect pairs there.
Is R. Kelly an upgrade on?
Yes.
Yes. I mean,
if you are.
Mikhail was pretty disappointing.
Praying or religious type or Allah or, you know, I don't know what, Buddha or something along those lines. Can we have a fit Will Magne for this NBL 23, please?
Knock on wood. Please. Definitely.
As an NBL fan, just as an NBL total fan, I just want him to play, you know.
I've read a few articles. I agree.
I want him to be doing cartwheels, flips, whatever you want to call them, dancing. Like,
there's just so much potential there, really.
Humph. Like, both those guys. Yeah. I hope they play every game. I hope they close to double-double every game.
Yes. It's going to be interesting.
Let's make a pact that we won't put them in the...
They're both not in the song.
Okay.
So don't bother. So if you're out there, once again, at @Beeble_blokes, do not hit us up with those two names because
no
they
big
will
Will
not
thrills.
Be in the song.
We won't be getting
they
over
won't
the
be
hump.
In
okay.
I'm personally we'll probably, interested. Probably,
although,
of
side note, don't let Banksy hear this. We'll probably put Banksy in the song. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, after last season, maybe I need to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay.
Good.
Have you got something else to say, Banks?
No, I'm interested to see how the Tassie guys go in the preseason. I think, you know, I did a lot of reading on Doyle, and I think he may be better than we first imagined. I think he will be, fantasy-wise, an upgrade on Adams. We know that G League guards tend to transition very well into the NBL. Bryce Cotton, Machado, Jalen Adams, and Xavier Munford. So I think with those numbers, he'll transition better than we think.
I dislike just how positionless their squad is. And how their coach will use that. Like, they ran without Magne at centre last season. Like, we will see some Fab Krizlovic at centre. Like, they will just... I'm worried we're going to get a stack of guys playing 25 minutes again, which at this stage has me bypassing them. But the best fantasy schedule to start the season, guys, and that's what we're here to talk about, the schedule. It has unfortunately not gone to Cairns and has gone to Tasmania because that's where I was hoping to get some value. But I guess
that's it. That's a big wrap. That's a big wrap. We've gone through a fair bit of stuff today. We'll probably be talking in depth again, but we wanted to get something out there. It's been a little while. We've had a good break. We've refreshed. I'm refreshed. Are you refreshed?
Just.
Okay. Yep. Good. So, you know, as per previous seasons, you'll start to see us ramping up now where we've got plans in place to talk to people and listen to people and talk to more people and then listen to more people.
Exciting stuff.
And, did you guys get like the whole, you guys got the whole, Ron Burgundy when he gets back, when he gets given the mic because they need him to report
the
news again today? Yeah. I got that sort of feeling from all of us today, myself.
No, I thought we did pretty well. We did okay.
I'm here to report the news.
It's our preseason for our preseason.
Preseason. Until next time, we are at @Beeble_blokes on Twitter. We are just Basketball Blokes on Facebook. We are at basketballblokes.com. Check us out. Patreon, all that jazz. Till next time, say hello to your mum for me.